Has the clone come back?
Not yet. They are still awaiting the return of the clone.
Ah, yes.
Yes.
The clone.
The clone, he is missing?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 10 of One More Podcastle, where we use electronic technology in order to transfer our thoughts to your ears. My name is Eric Bailey. Me and the washing machine are not on speaking terms right now, and I'm the editor-in-chief of onemorecastle.com.
My name is Eric Hunter. I am the audio engineer, and I have a secret.
My name is Jason Lamb. I'm the stereotypical Canadian, and what are you all talking about?
I'd like to talk about Hunter's secret. I'm intrigued.
Well, I can't tell you.
Well, fine.
It's a secret. I'm curious about the stereotypical Canadian, because I have my thoughts, but I'd like to be educated? Question mark?
I like to think of Jason as more of a token Canadian than a stereotypical Canadian.
He's the token Canadian.
The token Canadian.
What's that even mean?
Well, if there's one thing retro gamers like, it's tokens.
And gems.
And gems. And coins. Gems. And rings.
All the glorious AB retro gaming.
Speaking of retro games, you guys played any lately or what?
Yes.
I did.
Oh, Jason goes first.
No, Eric can go.
No, you go first.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
I ended up playing some Mega Man 2.
What? Stop presses.
I decided that, you know, after my little rant about Mega Man and platformers in general, I should probably give it another shot. So I beat Bubble Man, I believe.
Nice.
Yeah. It was, I think I figured out why I'm not a huge fan of platformers.
Excellent. Let's hear it.
Oh, can I guess?
Sure.
Because you're bad at them.
Nope.
Ooh, all right. Well, now I just sound like a jerk.
Yeah, jerk. I'm sorry. I didn't mean that.
Typical Canadian.
Someone got it. They're very platform games.
Are they repetitive? Is it because they're so repetitive?
It's not so much repetitive.
Okay.
I think it basically all comes down to the fact I like a bit of, I want to say, strategy in my game, or either really heavy story. Like, my favorite genres are probably art or turn-based strategy, real-time strategy, first-person shooters, and probably space sims.
You make a good point. I mean, a lot of platformers, at least back in the retro days, there really wasn't a story. And if there was a story, it's the typical retro gaming story of, okay, you're the hero, go save the princess.
Exactly.
So that makes a ton of sense. I'll agree with you on that. Absolutely.
Yeah, so from a narrative standpoint, they don't really appeal to me. And just from a kind of a strategic standpoint, like discounting strategy games, like turn-based and real-time, because those are complete strategy. Even with first-person shooters, you can kind of approach each situation differently. You can, like, even in terms of just flanking enemies or...
There's multiple ways to win.
Multiple ways to win. And I find with a lot of platformers, it's just, okay, go to from point A to point B. You're going to run into, in the case of Mega Man, all these robots. And there's not really any variation through that pathway. Does that make sense?
It does. I can respect that.
Yeah,
just hearing you explain your genre preference, obviously, if there's two or three elements that you really like to see in your games, but platformers naturally tend not to have any of those, that's going to make a lot of sense as to why you don't like it.
Yeah, so that would probably be why.
I mean, it took you a whole week to figure it out.
I will say, though, it's interesting that you did beat one boss, but I wonder what you would think about the progress of beating a few, because Capcom, I feel, I'm going to play devil's advocate for a moment, was one early developer to put some thought into designing their platformers to give the player a sense of choice and a pathway they can choose and strategy behind it. And you get to experience it in Mega Man games when different boss enemies' weapons that you gain are weaknesses for other boss enemies.
Yeah.
And As much as I would like to sit here and debate the merit of how tactical they are at a fast pace in terms of the decisions you make, I totally hear you. I can understand why when you explain it from that standpoint. So,
all right.
Well said, sir.
Thank you.
Yeah.
What did you play, Hunter?
I picked this game up on a whim when I was running through, because sometimes, like, when I go to retro gaming shops, I'm just looking through and I'm like, okay, I don't really know what games I have. I probably don't have this one, so I'll just randomly pick up games for like $1 or $2 or just to have them in my collection. I picked up the Sega Genesis Wonder Boy in Monster World.
Oh.
And it's like a action RPG. I have been completely taken back by how well the game was done. Because like Wonder Boy is one of those forgotten Sega franchises that they thought wasn't worth anything, and it's really sad because it's a great game. Mm-hmm. It's a really good story. The ideas of running through all the different worlds and stuff, it's really cool. It's a lot of fun. The only beef I have with it right now, which I don't know if it's just me and I just don't know any other way to do it, but you have to pay to save your game.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, it's weird.
The only way to save your game is by going to an inn and paying to spend the night. Now, it's like any other RPG game where the farther along you get into the game, the more expensive is the stay at the inn. Mm-hmm. And that, from my understanding anyway, I haven't been able to figure anything else out, is you have to pay to stay at the inn to save your game. You can't just go up to the inn and say, no, I don't want to stay. I just want to save my game. They're like, no. You need to stay if you want to save. And it's like, man. I mean, yeah. It's not much, but it's one of those things where it's like, it's a pain in the ass.
Well, this is going to sound a little weird, but that actually intrigues me. As a Nintendo fanboy, I've kind of stayed away from that franchise, even though a lot of retro gamers have made it very clear how classic of a series it is. I'm really, intrigued by that mechanic. It's kind of like the early Resident Evil games where you had to have the ink ribbon.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that was a good idea.
Well, it makes saving your game a heavy choice you have to make. Like, do I go a little bit farther before I save? You have to weigh the risk of potentially dying if you do that. I don't know. That kind of game design is really interesting to me.
And the other thing that I didn't realize until this morning when I was playing it was you can't sell. So obviously it's a RPG. You can build up your character and get experience points and get different armor and, you know, weapons and that kind of thing. You can't sell your old weapons and armor.
What?
Yeah, you
what
can't.
What happens to them?
You just hold on to it.
So what, you just have this ever-growing collection of stuff?
Yeah, so at first I was like, I really wanted to get this sword, which they called Excalibur, which I'm guessing is the best sword in the game. I don't know. I hope it would be. It's got the name Excalibur. I was like, man, I really want that. It was like 2,000 coins or whatever, and I only had like 1,500 or something like that. And I was like, why can't I just sell my other shit? And then I got a little farther in the game, and then I realized why I can't sell my stuff. It's because I have to backtrack, and I need certain boots and armor and weapons to be able to go into certain areas.
Okay.
You need the trident to be able to swim, and you need a certain kind of boots to be able to swim faster. You need a certain kind of boots to go across the desert. You got to go back and forth. So I'm not that upset about it now, but like I'm probably almost done with the game, and I just figured that out. So that was very, very upsetting.
This game sounds annoying.
It's actually a lot of fun. I'm just really good at making very small, minuscule things sound super big.
That's what we're all about here, making mountains out of virtual molehills.
Virtual molehills.
It's the only time you'll ever hear that phrase, right here on One More Podcast.
What about you, Bailey? You been playing any retro games?
Yeah, I have been testing my patience with a little gem on the NES called Solar Jetman. Are either of you familiar?
I've heard of it, but I've never heard of it.
I'm going to try and describe it.
Wait, did you hear that? Jason's looking it up right now.
I am.
That's probably much easier.
I need visual aids.
I understand. You're a ship, and you have to collect parts for a better ship. So there's about a dozen planets, and on each one you land on, you have to explore. But the crux of the game is it's really in-depth gravity simulation and the fine-tuned control you have of your ship. Like, there's more than 8 directions you can thrust in, similar to Asteroids-style controls.
Oh, it's kind of like Moonlander.
Yes, exactly. That kind of mechanic.
Oh, I love Moonlander. That's a great game.
So you're exploring the caverns of planets, and you're retrieving fuel and ship parts and You're gaining money so that you can improve your weapons and your shields and your thrusters, and it's a gradual progression through each planet and gaining parts of this legendary golden ship. And there's passwords after each planet. And I said I'm testing my patience because I'm not very good at it, and I tend to get frustrated at little mistakes, but it really demands that you be very careful and slow going and very ginger about how you maneuver. So not the kind of thing I'm used to. So it's really challenging me, and I'm really enjoying it.
It looks really good from the video I'm watching and from your description. It looks really good.
Yeah, it's made by Rare, and I'm a fan of them as a developer. All their stuff from the NES through the Nintendo 64. They used to make some wonderful stuff.
Is that the one where you got to collect like the fuel for the ship first?
Yes, before you can blast off. Yep.
Okay, yeah. They actually put that game into Donkey Kong 64 as like a hidden unlockable. Yeah, there's a...
Huh.
One of the last levels. That was actually the first time I played it. It was one of the last levels. You had to get into this room somehow, and then there was an arcade set up, and then you'd go and play it, and then it would just pop up, and you could play it. It was. I had a lot of fun playing it.
Nice. Yeah. And that's the retro game I've been playing.
Nice.
Good choice.
So, thank you. And you guys, we don't have a retro game discussion question tonight, but I would like to highlight an email we received on our Podcastle email account.
Incoming transmission.
We got an email from Alex Weiss, a.k.a. Chronoslinger, Chronoslinger, on One More Castle and on Twitter. And for those who don't know, episode 9 was initially mistakenly listed as episode 96. So Alex listened to episode 96, and then he emailed us. Kind of a clever twist. He acts like he's from the future and he's been listening to dozens and dozens of our episodes. So he's telling us his list of his top 5 favorite moments from our first 96 episodes of One More Podcast. Are you guys ready for this?
Absolutely.
Number 1, the episode where you guys discussed your favorite video game movies. Number 2, the episode in which you guys discussed what constitutes a retro game. Number 3, the episode in which the retro showdown consisted not of you all trying to defend which game was the best, but which of your games was the worst. Number 4, the episode in which you had a Zelda-themed retro showdown. And he adds, it was so close, Bailey. I can't believe you picked that Zelda.
Why did you pick that Zelda?
I just have a thing for it, and I'll explain when we get to that episode.
Right.
And then number 5, the episode in which you guys discussed your least favorite game from your favorite series. So, Alex, thanks for your email. It was the best one we got. And I guess, Jason and Hunter, in order to avoid a paradox in a time-space continuum, we better make sure we cover those topics sometime in the next 80 episodes.
Deal.
Okay, we'll see what we can do. And just a reminder for everyone else, please use our podcast email address. It's podcast@onemorecastle.com. Let us know what questions you want to discuss.
Stop it! Don't open that door!
I think we can tackle one of these right now. Your least favorite game from your favorite series. You guys have any thoughts on that?
Give me a second. I'll think of something.
Yeah, that's a tough question.
I really like the Resident Evil series, and there is a rail shooter on the Wii, and the first level spoils part of Resident Evil Zero, and overall, if you're used to playing Resident Evil games anyway, switching suddenly to a rail shooter, I don't feel like it fits the series very well in terms of the atmosphere and the pacing, and it's really jarring to switch between characters and completely different settings because it takes place across all the prior games, and it's just redoing parts of them, so I really did not like it. So that's my least favorite. Whatever that game was on the Wii for Resident Evil, the rail shooter that does all the other games in a different way, didn't like it.
It's something Files or
Dark Side Chronicles.
Dark Side? Well, it's not a Pink Floyd game.
No, the Umbrella Chronicles.
That's what it is, yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Ugh. So that's my answer.
See, I fell for that too, because really big on the back of the box, it says, play the original Resident Evil game levels. And I was like, that sounds awesome.
Yeah.
And then it's a rail shooter. And I'm like, you've got to be shitting me.
I mean, now, everything that's good about Resident Evil, it just strips it away. Gone. No surprise enemies, no need to track down all the items, no ammo conservation, at least not in the same methodology. So, yeah, Umbrella Chronicles, curse you.
Damn it, man. I love all of the Legend of Zelda games.
Got to pick a least favorite. Which one do you love not quite as much as the others?
See, I don't know.
If you had to admit it, which one?
I can't. I can't do it.
You can do it. You can do it, Hunter. It's like picking a least favorite child. You can do it.
I don't have kids.
That's why it should be even easier.
Yeah.
I'm just going to think of a different one, a different series, because I can't do it. I can't think of another.
One where he turns into a wolf.
I love that one.
Okay.
That one was amazing. God, they're all really good.
But which one's the least good?
None of them. They're all amazing and plus.
Jason, have you thought of your favorite series?
I don't even know if I have a favorite series. That's the problem. Like, my mind immediately jumps to not necessarily, I don't know, a favorite series, but I just start thinking of series that have kind of fallen from grace. They've steadily gotten worse. The Command and Conquer series. Have you played any of the modern ones?
I have not. Are they bad?
Oh, yeah.
You want to name one in particular?
Let's go with, I'll say the Tiberium Wars. That's when they started getting really bad.
Okay.
They were really good because they're all made by Westwood, this game developer. And then they got bought out in 2002 by EA.
Oh, so you know more.
Yeah. And then, you know, the original team was there for a while, for like two more years, or one more year, I should say. And then they just completely went to hell.
That kind of sucks.
It's the EA way.
The EA way. It's in the game.
Well, see, that's the thing, though, is they never used to be that way. They used to make really killer games, really original ideas, and they would, like, ones that come to mind is like Evo for the Super NES. That's an amazing game that nobody's ever touched on since. Oh, the game I'm picking for the Retro Showdown?
Oh.
It's one of those games that it's a perfect balance of a couple of different genres that was executed almost perfect, and there hasn't really been anything like it since.
It's Skate or Die, isn't it?
I like the answer. Okay, so I made up my mind. I'm going to have to change my favorite series. It's not my all-time favorite series, but I've put in easily hundreds of thousands of hours, which is Street Fighter 2. My least favorite in that series is Super Street Fighter, and this is why. So I'm all about new characters. I think new characters are great. I think adding anything to a game is a great idea, but the thing that they really missed out, my favorite Street Fighter 2 game of all time is Street Fighter 2 Turbo or Championship Edition or Champion Edition if you're on the Genesis, because you could, if you had Ken or Ryu, you could hurricane kick through the air at a straight angle. It was a straight line. So that set you up for all kinds of combos. And then in Super Street Fighter 2, you do like this little falling gracefully hurricane kick. And it's the it's like the gayest thing I've ever seen in a fighting game. Because it's like you jump up, you start the hurricane kick, and then he's just like, I'm tired. I'm going to drop down on the ground. And it's like it kills every combo that I had from the previous iteration. And it's just, and the new characters are stupid.
And well, I admire you guys being able to name specific games for a surprise question that I didn't warn you guys about. So, wow, we all had something in mind. And Hunter, I admire your ability to get to so specific of a mechanic for a reason you dislike the game.
I'm a very angry person, Bailey.
All right. I will try my best not to get on your bad side. I don't make you angry, do I, Hunter?
No, but I did find out some information about you that I'll talk to you later about.
Oh, well, I will save my vitriol for the Retro Showdown. How about we take a music break?
Yeah!
Yeah!
What?
Music break?
Thank you.
back. Hope you enjoyed a chill progression on a classic theme. That was Gold Cup Grand Prix by 8-Bit Synth Town. And you'll be able to download that track on the podcast page. But we all know what it's time for. The main event. The Retro Showdown.
Retro Showdown!
For those who don't know, this is where each of us has a game in mind. We'll have 2 minutes to introduce it, and then we're just going to argue about which game's best. But the best part is you, listeners, are able to vote on onemorecastle.com on the podcast page which game is your favorite, hopefully persuaded by our arguments. And just so you guys know, 2 episodes ago, the winner was Tetris, my game.
Imagine that.
Yep, that was on episode 8.
Who would have thought Tetris would win?
Rocket Pants. It destroyed Beavis and Butthead and Star Wars Rebel Assault. It was not even close. So, just teaches you, communism always wins.
What?
Right? No? We disagree? Okay, well,
just keep
in the
going,
video game.
Keep going.
Yeah, anyway, never mind. Jason, if you have 2 minutes for me, I am ready for my Retro Showdown pick.
I am ready when you are. So you may begin.
Tonight, I picked a sentimental favorite. It's one of the first NES video game cartridges I ever had, so I played it a lot. It's called Captain Skyhawk, a fairly common game, but obscure in the fact that you don't hear it talked about a lot, despite the fact that it's fairly distinctive. It was developed by Rare, released in 1990. It is a sci-fi shoot 'em up. There's 2 primary gameplay modes in terms of the level layouts. There's these really cool vertically scrolling sections that have kind of an isometric view. And I really enjoy the graphics for an 8-bit game. It looks really nice. And then there's also these view from behind dogfight levels. And they combine with the plot line about you collecting the parts to an ultimate weapon in order to defeat the alien menace. It's a very challenging game. But the good news is there's an invincibility cheat code. And to be honest, I used it a lot just to play all the way through. And it's a good game that you can pick up right away, start playing, and there is a difficulty curve, but it's a lot of fun. So that's my pick, Captain Skyhawk.
All right. Hunter, are you ready?
What? Huh? Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
You may begin.
My pick for this week's Retro Showdown is General Chaos for the Sega Genesis. In General Chaos, 2 teams are pitted against each other commanded by either General Chaos or General Havoc. With over 50 different battlefields to create bloodshed, you select your team of fierce fighters and duke it out to the bitter end. The game is a RTS of sorts as you command a team of 5 soldiers to conquer one side of the board, to the other planting your flag as your enemy lays dead in the fields behind you. And the arcade action is fast-paced. You can play up to 4 players, either head-to-head or cooperatively. If you think class-based shooters were a new idea, General Chaos has had this feature back in 1993. Within each team, each soldier has a different weapon, ranging from grenades to machine guns, and from a bazooka to a flamethrower, and you can light up your friends using EA Sports' 4-way play. The music is great. The visuals are Genesis-perfect. Mixed with a little comedy and the fun never stops. A perfect addition to any gamer's collection. Of course, the easiest choice for this week's showdown.
All right. I guess I'll begin. My choice for this week's Retro Showdown is City Building Simulation SimCity 2000. Released in 1994 by Maxis, the game is available for Amiga, DOS, and Microsoft Windows, and also later released on Mac OS 2. Based on the success of the original SimCity, it changed its view from a overhead to a diametric view, which stays in the series today. It also introduced things such as different land elevations and underground layers for water pipes and subways. Things such as prisons, schools, libraries, museums, hospitals, and marinas meant you could build a city much like any other in the world. It introduced such things as scenarios where you could relive the 1991 Oakland firestorm or the 1970s economic recession in Flint, or the more fanciful things such as a monster destroying Hollywood in 2001 or a nuclear meltdown in Manhattan in the year 2007. All in all, SimCity 2000 is the perfect city building simulation that you should really play. And it is, of course, the best pick for this week's Retro Showdown.
You just added that because I said it, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. That means two of us have said it and one hasn't.
Ooh, good call.
Yeah, we did it. We did it. Two of us.
Well, either way, both your games suck.
No way. My game doesn't suck. It's fun.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't fun?
It doesn't fun at all. You can't fun in your game.
You know, I have a little saying, Hunter. It goes like this. I try not to engage in a battle of wits with an unarmed man. So if you can't even get your grammar correct, why should I bother?
So that means I win. Cool. All right.
That means I win.
What do you guys want to talk about now?
Didn't even understand.
I'm confused.
Actually, Jason, I have a question for you.
Sure.
You said that SimCity 2000 is the, and I'm quoting you here, perfect city building simulation.
Yes.
Have there been any games in the Sim or SimCity franchise since SimCity 2000?
There has been SimCity 3000 and SimCity 4.
Do you believe there might even be further SimCity games to be made in the future, maybe?
There is one that's being released this next year.
So why are there still sequels if they perfected the formula with SimCity 2000?
You could argue the same about Mario.
You could, but we're not. None of us picked Mario.
Well then, because with the advance of technology comes better graphics, and people demand better graphics now.
So your game's graphics are inferior, is what you're saying?
No, I'm saying that they are superior to Captain Skyhawk's.
I'm not so sure.
No, I think they are.
I find Captain Skyhawk much more appealing. I mean, if I wanted to look at a crime-ridden, smog-filled city, I would just drive to downtown Chicago and look around.
Oh, come on, Captain Skyhawk, released for the Nintendo Entertainment System, has a horrible graphics engine compared to SimCity.
It is pretty bad. It's pretty bad.
Come on, you're looking at 1989 versus 1994.
Well, it's not even that. It's their choice of color scheme. It's like the level's either green or it's blue. And all the enemies blend in. Okay, sorry. Green, blue, yellow, red. There's no definition. Half the time when you're flying around and you're looking to fire at somebody, you fly across something that kind of looks like it might not be an enemy, but oh, guess what it is? And you're getting blown away by some of the enemies are cheap, is what it is.
Maybe it was that way the first time I played it. Maybe it's grown more naturally to me, but I don't feel that way at all. I think I'm thinking in my mind right now, the green level, we'll call it that, has orange enemies. Hunter, I don't want to concern you, but you might just be colorblind.
That can't be true.
It could be. If you think that the enemies match the background color, there might be a color you're missing out on. Your whole life, you've just never actually seen the cover orange.
Well, that's not cool.
I'm sorry, man. I don't mean to be the one to break it to you.
I like the static lighting choices in your game. And by like, I mean they're horrible. Like, I'm looking at a clip now, and the airplane's flying through space, which makes no sense, seeing it's a jet fighter. But we won't get into that.
No, let's not get into that, please.
It's a futuristic jet fighter that can totally fly through space, guys.
All right, let's pretend it can fly through space.
That's what new games are all about, so yep. Go on pretending. Let's do that.
Okay, so it's flying through space, and the shading on your actual jet fighter remains consistent throughout the entire time, even though there's no light source to the left of it. It's always shaded, or there's lack of shading on the entire left-hand side, while the right-hand side is completely shaded out.
Well, to be quite frank,
which is the exact opposite of the lighting source shining on the satellite it's fighting.
I know, isn't it cool? It's kind of neat. The light doesn't even behave in the ways that physical laws would dictate.
And not even that, the level design is horrific.
Like, fantastic.
There is hairpin turns that you never even see coming because nothing warns you. The level doesn't flow correctly. It's like they just kind of threw the level together because
enemies spawn randomly.
They don't spawn randomly, but hairpin turns are exciting. They get your adrenaline pumping. You just got to hone your twitch reflexes and work on your reaction time, my friend.
Yeah, but you have to train the person to do that. You can't just throw it at them. You got to train the player to get to that point, or they're just going to turn it off.
Sure, you can throw it at them. It does it pretty well. No, totally just throws it at you.
That's not good. That's not good game design.
I think it is. I don't want my handheld throughout the game. I don't want a big tutorial. I don't want a soft, easy, you can't die, you have no chance of losing kind of gaming experience. I want a challenge.
No, challenge is great, but to be that kind of challenge, that's not, no.
Okay, I hear you. There are ways for challenge and difficulty to be incorporated through unfair means. But when you talk about things like enemy placement, in Captain Skyhawk, there aren't really enemies that pop out of nowhere. They're going to be in the same place every time you do the level. And in the dogfight sequences, you have time to react to enemy positions, and they don't even pose a threat at first. So it's purely up to the player just to adjust in a few seconds and do it. It's not unfair at all. It's totally legitimate.
Every level's the
same. No! There's levels where you have to drop supplies to scientists so that they can work on the ultra weapon. There's levels where you have to defeat boss enemy kind of installations. Those differ. The level designs are different.
They're really not. It's like I'm flying over checkered orange land, or I'm flying over checkered green land, or checkered pink land.
And or see, I'm engaging in a dogfight over the ocean from a completely different point of view.
And then you're engaging in a dogfight over grass from the same view.
Hey, see, the best part is that basically all they did was is they just took a vertically scrolling shooter and they put it in the isometric form, thinking they're going to make a brand new game, and it's the same boring game as every other shoot 'em up out there.
They've really just replaced the sprites in every level.
Okay, you just heard it here, folks. All the retro gaming fans out there that are fans of the shoot 'em up scene, Hunter is not on your side, and you shouldn't vote for his games ever again.
Yeah, start playing some real good games, like General Chaos.
Let's talk about General Chaos. Can we talk about General Chaos for a second?
I would love to talk about General Chaos.
So, I've read a little bit about General Chaos. I admit I haven't played it.
Uh-huh, imagine that.
Yep, imagine that. But you said it originated the class-based shooter, or how is it that you phrased it?
It featured the class-based shooter idea back in 1993.
Okay, and you think that's impressive that different characters had different classes?
Yeah, don't you, Jason? Don't you think that's neat?
Kind of. I'm more really concerned about they trying to emulate a mouse with a controller.
That's never a good idea.
Are you really controlling a pointer around the entire screen?
In one aspect of the game, yes.
There's a reason they stopped doing this. There's a reason they don't do strategy games like this on consoles ever.
What are you talking about? They do it all the time. Still.
How many RTSs have come out for consoles lately?
There's one really big one that I remember coming out pretty recently.
So big, you can't remember the name.
Yeah, it was Halo. Halo
Wars?
No, ODST. That was an RTS with a mouse conversion to controller, and it was extremely popular, sold many copies, scored high scores.
Halo ODST.
Yeah, I think that's which one it is.
The first-person shooter.
Okay, well, it's not that one, then.
It was Halo Wars.
Halo Wars.
This is like last week where you couldn't argue anything.
What are you busting balls for? I can't remember terrible game titles. I think the game was stupid.
Exactly.
But it's an RTS.
It was stupid. Exactly. This is why they don't make them anymore.
What are you talking about? That game came out like last year.
It came out in 2009.
Yeah, last year. What year are we in?
Okay, here's my issue. I want to go back to the class thing, the multi-class characters, just for a moment. Because the concept of having different characters behave differently and have different traits and stats and behaviors based on different classes is super old. If you recall, roguelikes have been doing that for decades. In fact, the game Rogue did it in 1980. You can go back to games in the 70s. You can go back to text adventures. You can't hold up just having multi-class characters as some kind of innovative, revolutionary feature by the mid-90s. I get what you were trying to do, like taking a jab at Jason and his claims as to Team Fortress Classic being the first class-based shooter and all that. But your game's not a shooter. It's a
real-time strategy game.
Yeah, using controller as a pointer.
Yeah, I agree. Those are all good points. It's a great game. You should play it.
If I wanted to play a static background class-based character manipulation strategy game on Sega Genesis, I would play Gain Ground.
Why, when you can play General Chaos?
Because Gain Ground's better.
How do you know? You've never played General Chaos.
That's
not fair. I've played your game.
Okay.
And your game is boring. It's cheap. The level design is terrible. The dogfights, you play the game to get to the dogfights because of the shoot 'em up aspect is lame. And then when you're in the dogfight aspect of the game, that's just as boring. The whole game is just lame.
No, it's not, but I suppose you're entitled to your inferior opinion.
Hey, I agree.
Well, I will play General Chaos sometime and get back to you, but I'm pretty darn confident I would prefer Gain Ground. But if you want to talk about boring, can we talk about a city building simulation?
So here's my biggest thing with SimCity, all of them.
Wow.
All of the SimCities is they, especially, I think SimCity 2000 was like, it was a huge aspect of the game. There's things in the game that I just don't give a shit about.
Like what?
Like, I don't care that there's a traffic jam. I don't care. I don't care that there's pollution. What does that have to do with anything? You're telling me that that people will not move into a town if there's pollution? Come on. Ridiculous.
They'll still move in. Just have to lower your taxes.
No.
You don't want to lower your taxes?
Absolutely not.
I think your game
some
has
incentive to live there.
How am I supposed to get paid?
Stop the pollution.
I think your game has issues when you're emphasizing taxes as the big feature to lure people in.
Yeah, you're really stretching.
Manipulation, everyone. It's exciting. It's fun. It's a video game. It's taxes.
Yeah. Watch out for those traffic jams.
Oh, man. You got to manage that pollution. People are moving in. There's a crime rate.
Yeah, you got to keep that crime rate down. You got to build more police stations.
See, and this is...
Enact some edicts.
So, okay, let me make sure that I got the idea, because the general idea of SimCity is to make like a thriving city, right? So you get paid a lot of money, you got a lot of people moving in. To some people, it's considered perfect. It's a utopia, right?
It's not the general idea. That's one way, you know?
Okay, what's another way? Maybe because even when you do the scenarios, you're trying to take something that's not as good and form it into this makeshift box and label it a utopia so people will come in. What are we teaching kids with a game like this?
Sound fiscal planning?
No. Not at all. No. That's terrible.
I would like to point out that earlier Jason said he doesn't like Mega Man and other platformers because of their narrative shortcomings. So then he comes to the Retro Showdown with a game about building police stations and deciding on the optimal tax rate. That, my friend, is the definition of narrative shortcoming. Play video games to escape from reality. I can pay my taxes in real life. But in Captain Skyhawk, I can be a jet fighter pilot into space and fight aliens. That's freaking cool, SimCity. Did you say that SimCity 2000 introduces scenarios?
Yeah.
It doesn't. The original SimCity had them.
Well, shit.
And see, and SimCity is one of those ideas where it's like, okay, let's do one. Okay, it was a huge hit. Let's do another. Wow, that was a huge hit too? Man, these people will buy anything. Let's do another. And another. Let's do Sim Ant. Let's do Sim Farm. Let's do Sim Roller Coaster. Let's do every damn Sim thing we can think about because people will buy it. Let's not try to make new games.
Kind of sounds like the Zelda series.
That was a low blow, man.
That was a low blow. I know.
I did it. Jeez.
I did it.
Whew. Last week he was talking smack about Mega Man. This week it's Zelda.
At least Zelda has a different story every time.
It's just two. You make the story up as you go.
That is what storytelling's all about. It's better than SimCity with the most static storyline possible. I mean, Hunter's right. Every iteration of SimCity just seems ridiculous. SimCity 2000, it's like, well, let's take the formula of SimCity and add water pipes. Right, guys? Right? Yeah, let's do that.
Well, who doesn't love water pipes? But yet, I guess there's the wind turbines.
Mario, but...
Well, here's what I was going to say, because Maxis, as I think is how you pronounce it, is the one who created SimCity, correct?
Yeah, Will Wright and Maxis.
All right, so 1989, SimCity. 1990, yep. SimEarth. 1991, SimAnt. 1992, SimLife. 1993, SimFarm. 1993, SimCity 2000. 1995, SimTown. 1996, SimGolf. 1996, SimPark. 1996, SimTunes. 1996, SimChopter. It wasn't until 1996 where they made a game called Marty and the Trouble with Cheese.
What a game.
And you didn't even mention Sims.
I didn't get up that far. That was in the 2000s. I can keep going.
Wow.
I can keep going.
Jason, what right do you have to make fun of Zelda and Mario for their iterative storylines throughout all their sequels when clearly Maxis is the master of doing that in their games and sequels?
I was making fun. I was just drawing a parallel.
Well, I'm standing on that parallel, and I'm yelling at you about it.
Somebody, you need to help him down. He's a crazy lunatic.
Okay. Figuratively speaking.
So you're going to say something amazing about General Chaos. I mean, I'm ready to listen, Bailey.
All I was going to say was that the animation in General Chaos is so stilted and slow that it's a big turnoff for me. It just strikes me as a very ugly game with poor presentation.
See, now the stilted aspect, that's the comedic value.
That's not comedic at all.
Absolutely. It comes off as comedic.
No, it doesn't. It really doesn't. You're just pulling excuses out of your butt right now.
I don't know where else I would pull them.
I think you need to find a better source.
You can pick squads in the game.
Correct. There's multiple variations of squads. And one of the best parts is there's a commando squad where it's just two guys.
Now, can you actually custom make squads?
What do you mean?
So, like, I've got these squads. I've got, like, the assault team and the demolition team. But is there a way I can just go in, look at all these individual soldiers, and just throw what I want together?
No, Jason, it's not a sim. Okay, this is a
Just guys with it's a real time strategy game. So you mean I can't just have guys with grenades and flamethrowers fighting?
No, it's not a sim.
Why the hell would I want to do that?
Enough choices.
This is horrible.
You have enough choices, Jason.
I don't want some jackass with a pistol going to battle.
There's no guy with a pistol in that game.
Even worse, there's no pistols.
You don't need pistols, you got bazookas, you got flamethrowers.
Yeah, but I just want flamethrowers and grenades, and it doesn't let me do that, does it?
You can. That's one of the commando teams, is a flamethrower and a grenader.
But you can't customize the commando teams, right?
No, you don't have to.
No, you should be able to.
They're all there.
You're trying to claim it's a real-time strategy game, but it really doesn't let you have a strategy. You have to fit into the pre-made mold of a very shallow, by comparison, tactical experience. It's masquerading as real-time strategy, but it's more like a real-time mess.
You're not even choosing where to control your players, are you? You can't control them individually.
Yeah. You tell them where to go and when to shoot. Absolutely.
Just as a group?
No, individually. You can cycle through the players. If your bazooka guy's up front, you want to move him in the back, you select the bazooka guy and you move him to the back.
All right. But you have to do that using the horrible mouse simulation, using the D-pad.
That sounds so inefficient.
There's no other way to do it.
What? Jason? You couldn't scroll through them using, like, I don't know, like the button select? Just keep scrolling through all of them and then move them?
Yeah, you can do that.
I still feel like General Chaos is one of those games, and Jason, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like the designers could have sat down and had one more meeting, and just with a couple tweaks, it could have been so much better.
Yeah.
But it just looks so limited and just... I don't even know how to describe it. It turns me off.
Idea that wasn't executed well.
Oh, good call. Yep.
Hey, I'll take a good idea over a simulator and a crappy shoot 'em up any day of the week.
Well, I'll give you the crappy shoot 'em up.
Ouch. Hey, that was insulting to me.
In 97, we have the streets of SimCity. We have Sim Safari, SimCity 3000, 2000.
Played Streets of SimCity?
No, of course not. Of course I haven't. It's the same damn game they've been making since 1988. The same game.
No, Streets of SimCity, you're driving around. It's actually it's a vehicular combat game.
How
does that work?
Are you stuck in traffic jams the whole time?
It's a vehicular combat game. You're in a car, driving around SimCity, blowing things up. It's awesome.
I'd rather play Twisted Metal.
I would love to play Twisted Metal right now.
I would love to play Twisted Metal as well.
Well, then apparently we all picked the wrong games tonight, huh?
Bring in Twisted Metal next week.
No, screw you, I am.
I'm definitely bringing Twisted Metal next week.
Fine, I'm bringing Twisted Metal too.
I actually really like Twisted Metal 3, so I'm okay with that.
Oh, you would.
What?
That's like the worst in the entire series.
Okay, I get it. The developer change, it's a bit different, but I like it. So screw you guys.
I'm going home.
Yeah, taking my ball and going home. So before we get too far off topic, let me give you guys a fair chance at some closing arguments. Jason, why should anyone listening out there vote for SimCity 2000?
Well, they should vote for SimCity 2000 because it really is the perfect city-building simulation game and pretty much lets you build the city of your dreams. And it doesn't feature horrible controls such as General Chaos or repetitive level design such as Captain Skyhawk.
Okay, Hunter, closing arguments. Why should anyone vote for General Chaos?
General Chaos is a excellent real-time strategy game that is fun to play. It's easy to pick up, and it's way better than a crappy simulator or a crappy shoot 'em up.
All right.
Ooh, can I make a point?
No, your points are over, Jason.
No.
Make it quick. Go.
All right. Not going to do it,
huh?
Are you serious?
Good. Yeah, I'm good.
He's pulling out. He's not going to do it.
No, I'm good.
Okay, well.
Okay. that's the anticipation.
Killing me. All right, well, my closing argument is I would just like to say it really speaks to the quality of Captain Skyhawk that it has smoother animation and more appealing presentation than either of the other games, General Chaos or SimCity 2000. Also, I'd like to point out the gradient shading on some of the faux three-dimensional aspects of the levels. It looks great for an 8-bit game, frankly. It's fast-paced, it's adrenaline-pumping. It is challenging, but that's what makes it so fun. And if you think it's too hard, just play with the invincibility code, and you can enjoy it that way. It's a shoot 'em up. It's fun. Captain Skyhawk. Jason, you want to make your point now?
I do.
It's a
board game. It's like last week. It's published by Milton Bradley, an American board game company.
Okay. And on that note, actually, Hunter, I'll let you make
one. Owned by Hasbro, who published Monopoly.
Oh, good grief. Hunter, do you want a final word?
No, I'm not dropping down to your guys' level. I'm good.
Oh, wow. All right. Shout outs to Ben Landis, as always. Thank you for letting us use your stuff for the intro and outro. Shout out to 8-Bit Synth Town. You can download their track Gold Cup Grand Prix on the podcast page. And a special shout out this episode to, I've heard this sentiment from a couple of Wormwood Castle's visitors that they don't want to comment on more articles because they don't want to be quote unquote that guy. I want to empower you right now. Be that guy.
Yeah, be that guy.
Go ahead. Leave comments. We like that. I think all three of us would agree. It's cool to see the discussions that form when some people actually are courageous enough to post comments on the articles. We know you're reading them, so if you have an opinion on it, speak up. We want to interact with you. We want to foster a community. So shout out to the fans. Thanks for listening, reading, commenting on the website. Do you guys have any shout outs, Jason?
I'm going to shout out to myself. You can follow me on Twitter at Jason Lamb. I'll also do a shout out to, actually your sister, Bailey, because I think she's asked for you to mention her on the show, but I don't think we have yet. So shout out to Valerie.
All right. Way to go, Valerie. Hunter, how about you?
You can find me on Twitter as well at Eric Hunter, and my blog is ericmhunter.net. And I guess I'll give a shout out to my brother, who asked me today where I found you crazy sons of bitches.
A story for another night, perhaps. Chicago, the far south suburbs. If you want to follow me on Twitter, It's Nintendo_legend. Or if you would prefer to follow my sister Valerie, the_Valerie. Whichever Bailey you follow, or whichever Eric you follow, or if you decide to follow Jason, thanks for listening to the One More Podcastle. And remember, you can email us at podcast@onemorecastle.com. And even more importantly, remember, you are a bad enough dude to rescue the president.